You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians are found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, this is Lee. We just wanted to give everyone a heads up before diving into the episode. We had a very upbeat and humorous discussion with Maggie about her experiences, but her story is centered on conversations about teenage sexual trauma and abuse. So we just wanted to let everyone know before diving into the episode, Maggie talks about her experiences through humor. So we had a really fun time recording the episode, but we know that it might not be for everyone. So we just wanted to give everyone a little heads up before we jump in. Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast where, girl, you belong to me. I got the recipe and it's called Black Magic.
I never
Come on, where's my backup vocals?
Oh, sorry.
Get on
it's
it.
Called Black Magic.
There you go. Thank you. I figured I could rely on you. I was so trusting.
I was just thinking, like, there's so many songs that you could have done for a magic intro. But Black
Listen,
Magic
it was
is
a really tough. It was a tough call to pick one. I went through a lot of like witch songs.
Oh my god!
Yes. I already have. So. I have one magic to do just for you from Pippin. Just a little
oh,
bit of
nice.
It.
Amazing. We're gonna do like a bonus episode that's just all
that's
of
just
the
all
other
the witch songs.
Takes.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been having yes. like a big Fleetwood Mac time. So like Rhiannon.
Rhiannon like, was high on my list. I'll be honest.
Yes. Stevie yeah. Nicks. Yeah, yeah. Is a witch.
Mm-hmm.
We all know this.
Oh, absolutely.
But yes, great. Charlie, great intro.
Okay, great. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We want to talk to all of you about our Trova trip to Croatia. We are really excited. We are putting on a gay trip to Croatia September 21st through the 27th. We cannot wait to hang out with the 13 of you who have already booked your spots. And we do have 5 left. If you're having FOMO, you can still join at bit.ly/lesdocroatia. And the last date for you to sign up for that is on July 23rd.
We also want to remind everyone that in season 6, we have started releasing monthly bonus episodes for all of our Patreon supporters. We have released, I think, 8 of those already. Mm-hmm. Our last one came out on the classic Almost Adults. Our next one's going to be coming up in 2 weeks on April 24th. We are going to be talking about Loving Annabelle. So I'm going to suggest people don't miss that.
Oh my God, what a film. Honestly, had so many feelings about that when I saw it for the first time in college. I know some of our patrons are like, don't even do it, which is cracking
yes.
me up. But you know what? We're going to have fun with it. So
We're
check
gonna
it out.
We're going to have a blast. So if you want to catch that, and all of our other bonus Patreon episodes. You can join at any level. You can find our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon.
In the Greater Les universe, Boy Genius just released a new album. It is super queer and super great. So check it out.
In less happy,
oh God,
Les universe news, Showtime has removed L Word Generation Q from streaming.
Just like, which, how much can stream? Like, you thought that streaming services sucked before, and they're like,
yeah,
actually, we don't want to even pay residuals for this for your show, so we're going to cut
wild.
It completely.
Well,
and they basically said you can pay for it. That's what they said. They responded like, oh, if you want, you can buy it on Amazon. Like, what the hell?
Absolutely wild. So yeah, that puts a real damper on my plan to finally ever finish Generation Q, which I haven't done yet.
Never will.
I'll figure it out.
Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies came out last week. I have not seen the first episode yet, but this is a series that I am so pumped about. Are you a fan of Grease, Lee?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're more excited than I am, but yeah.
I just like, Grease is one of my favorite musicals ever. Like, when I was like 6 years old, I would watch it and I would like do all the dances and do all, like, me and my sister would just like sing in my room to Grease. I have a Pink Ladies jacket.
Of course you do.
Like,
of course you do.
This is, and it's going to have some gay shit in it. So like, this is my moment. I'm
amazing.
Super excited for that. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And we are so excited to bring you episode 17 of season 6, Witch Please. And we are joined by a very special guest today.
Yeah.
You've heard her a little bit already. We are thrilled to have with us Maggie Lally, or Lale, who is a stand-up comic and musical comedian living in New York. She's the writer and performer of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival hit Sex Witch the Musical, a comedy show chronicling her journey in a two-person teen witch magic sex cult.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Thanks.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah, we're off to a really wonderful start.
We're in the zone. I love it. Yes.
I mean, any episode that starts with sex witch.
Yes. Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
it's quite like the title. When the title came to me, I'm like, yes, that's it. That's it. It's the same.
And you know why it's perfect? Because literally, like, we got the email in our inbox and it was like an immediate just like forwarding to our production assistant, just being like, this checks all of the boxes. Yes. Yes.
See, that's so great.
You're excellent.
Because when I email, you know, proposing Sex Witch, the musical, to a venue or something like that, I'm always like, is this going to go to spam? Like, this is going to get flagged.
They're flagged.
Put it in the trash. And then sometimes I'm like, did it go to spam? I honestly, if I ever get like a rejection surrounding Sex Witch the Musical, I'm like, it was spammed. It had to have been, honestly.
Yeah.
So
how did the name come to you?
How did the name come to me? So, you know, it is the story of my time as a teenage witch. And this was my experience with another girl, and we were teen witches together.
This is a real life experience.
This is a real life experience.
Okay.
It's too real. It's just too, it's all real. And it's a crazy, crazy story. So originally I called it Cold-Blooded Witch, : the Sex Musical, !! I love punctuation.
yes.
Cool.
So classic.
Originally called it that when I first did it in 2019 at the Pit in New York City, the People's Improv Theater. And I was like, oh, that kind of sort of captures her vibe, because she kind of had a darkness. She was kind of like an evil. We might call her an evil witch in the show. What did you say?
Is who you refer to as Bethany?
That's
in the show?
Correct.
Is that correct.
Bethany, okay. And that is not her real name, because we want to protect her.
Sure.
We want to protect the evil witch.
We
like,
must
it's okay.
protect
yeah,
her.
Hashtag justice for Bethany.
For Bethany. Right. She's the real victim.
Sure.
So anyway, I originally called it Cold-Blooded Witch to be like, that's her, right? And then it's like to sort of give you an idea that there's some sexy stuff involved. I added the sex musical. But then when I took the show to Edinburgh Fringe, I was like, Cold-Blooded Witch, the sex musical. It's not quite rolling off the tongue. It's just a very long name. It's a lot of words. So I was like, you know what? Let me shorten it to Sex Witch, the musical. And then I remember when I was doing the show at Fringe, you have to flyer. And I was in this like crazy kooky dress flyering all around Edinburgh. And I was like, do you like sex and witches? People were like, yes, yes. And so I figured I was like, this is working. So now I'm like, I got to get merch, you know, sex witch merch and stuff like that. So I'm in the process of organizing my merch. But yeah, so that's how the name officially became Sex Witch the Musical.
Amazing. Yeah. This is like such a stupid place to start, but do you ever have trouble? Cause we find Les Hang Out, like we can't buy ads on social media sites because they'll reject us. Like Facebook will be like, Les is a slur. And we're like, It's really not actually. That feels offensive, but like we can't promote shit all the time. Wow. And like, or with the flame, like we couldn't get a bunch of stuff promoted, even just if it has like
the word lesbian in it.
LGBT. Yeah. Lesbian musical and stuff. Like, have you been able to like actually put ads in places?
Well, it honestly does depend because the word sex, sex itself. I'm like,
I'm gasping already.
Right. I know. I'm like already offending the host, you know?
Yeah. I have pearls and they are being clucked.
Lee always wears pearls. Yeah. For all of you who've been listening for 6 years, she always is in pearls.
That's so funny. Yeah. I mean,
it's a vibe. It's a look.
Hilarious. You know? And well, listen, on TikTok,
men's pants and pearls.
I have to. Right. Yes. So on TikTok, you know, I have to be like segs, you know, with the G's and the S's, everyone's like, what is a segs witch? Like, you know, on Instagram, it's fine. On Facebook, it's a little weird. Facebook flags a lot of stuff. And I'm just like, what is your problem? You know, just help me promote. So I definitely think I don't have a lot of trouble. It's app to app. App to app struggles, I think. So sometimes they'll like flag it and I can't promote it, or I have to kind of, you know, go toward the teen witch story more than like the sex part of it. And then it's like a little more accessible
Sabrina.
Yeah, exactly. Because Sabrina's a little kind of in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Sabrina the sex witch.
Right. So yeah, so I definitely kind of adjust the terminology depending on what app I'm on, of course. So
can you actually just walk us through really quickly before we dive super in?
Yeah.
What like is the story?
What is this short synopsis of this musical? Where do I even begin? Quick synopsis. I grew up in New York City. I went to Catholic school. I was in Catholic girls' school, all of that stuff. I grew up in Harlem, rent control department. So I'm a city girl, New York City. Didn't realize it was New York City till I was like 15. Because then I was like, oh, this bus goes downtown. You know, I had no idea that I was in a big city. So this girl moved to New York from Albania when I was in eighth grade. I befriended her, Bethany, we'll call her. And she was super cool.
Bethany, the Albanian.
Bethany, yep. And okay. I want to be clear that I don't assume that all Albanian people were teenage sex, which, you know, that was very specific. To her. I want to be clear about that. That's a little joke I have in the show. I'm like, please don't be offended. I want you here. I do not. Because one time I did the show and a lovely Albanian couple came up to me after and they were like, we're so sorry on behalf of our
on behalf of all of us.
Literally, I was like, oh my God, I hope you enjoyed the show. Anyway.
They're like, so we're ceremonially folding a flag up for you. They're like,
literally, we're so apologetic. It was very sweet. So she moved from Albania to New York City. We became friends, very fast friends. We were friends for like 6 months and we were just had a, you know, when you meet a friend and you're like 13 and you just have like a rapport and you're like, I'm obsessed with you. You're my best friend.
Do you mean when you're gay and 13?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so, sure. Right. I was like, I'm obsessed with you. You're like so hot. She was sexually experienced. I had done absolutely nothing. I was very innocent.
She was 13 too.
She was 14, so like cougar, kind of, you know, a little
cougar,
bit.
Yes.
A little bit of like crazy cookie cougar.
MILF energy at 14.
MILF energy, yes. So I was like, I'm obsessed with you. And we became just like very close. You know, she was my first kiss. She taught me how to kiss, all of this stuff, whatever. eventually she confessed this thing. I'm on Halloween night. I'm
of course,
because by the way, the reason, the way that I've reconstructed this story is through my teenage journals, which I kept. So I was such a writer, you know, I was like, I have like books and books and books and books chronicling this whole thing. So I'm going to get through this really short synopsis as it's turned out to be. Like 30 it's minutes fine. Later. What is
no,
this about?
No, honestly, actually now I'm like, actually tell the whole story for 2 hours, please.
So basically I reconstructed this whole, you know, tale from these journals because I forgot a lot of it and I didn't revisit for years because I was like so freaked out by the whole thing. But we became friends 6 months into our relationship. She was like, by the way, you know, I'm a witch. I was like, duh. Oh my God. Like, that's amazing. And she goes, by the way, this is like top secret, but so are you. I was like, I knew it. Like, I fucking knew it.
I've always known I was a witch.
Yep. And I was a very, you know, innocent girl. I was a performer. I was in theater. I was like, I was very imaginative. So, and I also grew up Catholic. So I was like, there's no way that, you know, Jesus is real. And like, she's definitely a witch. If Jesus is real, she's a witch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that she's lying. It just couldn't
this
be.
This tracks.
Yeah. So basically she told me, she's like, look, I am able to bilocate and that's like my thing. And
wait, like, sorry. Can you clarify what that means?
Totally. So she was like, look, I live in this universe, but there is a parallel universe that I live in full time as a witch. And if you train with me as like an amateur witch and you listen to what I have to say and all this stuff, you too will be able to bilocate at some point. And you will be able to live in what you call the house. You will be able to live there full time and also live your earth life, but you will be able to live in the house. Now,
this is like how Scientology started, right?
I know. It's crazy.
And she just needed to fundraise a little more. I know. I really think she could have gone somewhere.
It's so funny you say that because in the show, I have this joke where I'm like, what kind of friend would I have been if I had abandoned her when she's just trying to get her cult off the ground? Like, I'm just trying to help
you're
my
in the
friend
startup
out.
Phase.
Exactly.
Like, we stand a supportive friend.
I was like, I'm loyal to my best friend. Like, you know? So... okay, so that's the goal, right? The house, getting
like
the house.
She wasn't even charging you yet. I think you got like the entry level rate, like friends and family discount.
Totally,
for
and
the
I
training,
think that
yeah.
really shows that she cares.
Absolutely, she was so invested, and also, I mean, leading up to this reveal that there was going to be a training program, we were obviously doing like you know,
Tom Cruise. Wait, so hard out, man.
Wait, but also. You're saying like this was like you were doing like light as a feather, stiff as a board.
We were doing
like, that,
that stuff.
Shit, and you're like, okay, yeah. Like,
and
we're
she's
witches.
Like, actually, this is for real. I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
So, and we would do like little, you know, spells with a little candle and be like, please help us, you know, have a fun sleepover
already.
Or whatever. I don't know. And we would also we did a little blood prick. Blood swap little
high
five blood
yeah,
swap
yeah, yeah.
Classic, yep. classic teenage witch
classic.
Stuff
yeah
so we did a few normal you know little witchy things and then this reveal of like oh we're actually seriously witches happened about 6 months in so I believed her totally was under control all this stuff now then she goes plot twist all the people the people who live in the house who are also witches and warlocks are celebrities and I can bring them into my body so they can talk to you.
And I'm like, was one of them Tom Cruise though?
Okay. Tom Cruise was weirdly not involved. Now, when I say that the list of celebrities was long and Tom Cruise was weirdly not
didn't
on
make
there,
the cut.
He didn't make the cut. So
wait, so who made the cut?
Okay. So many people, the first person, and this is also in the show, which I find hilarious. The first person that I met, and I remember this very clearly because she was like, are you ready to meet your first celebrity, which are warlock, through my body? And I'm like, yeah, the sleepover rocks. And then she and then
yeah. And to then be goes, fair, as you're
listen,
saying this,
we were
I'm
just,
like,
we were like
if I was a 13-year-old, I would also be like, you know what? Yes, please.
Exactly.
Like, we were just on AIM, like ASLing, trying to like, you know, figure out if someone was a celebrity at like 3 a.m. This sounds way faster than what we were doing, like much more direct. This would have fucking rocked.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Right. So, and thank you for saying that, because for years I was like, I can't believe I fell for this whole thing. But so here was my first celebrity encounter. She was like, are you ready to meet your first celeb? I was like, yeah, totally. And then she would be like, okay.
And then she'd
be like, hey, it's me, Al Pacino. And I was like, oh my God. Al.
I was about to say, like, please let us guess first.
Oh my God, you should have guessed.
And the way that I can promise you,
I would have never said
Al. There would have been 100
names on a list before I got to Al. There would have been 500 names on a list before I even remembered Al Pacino existed.
Yep.
Incredible.
So weird. God. And then also in the show, I talk about how,
hey girl,
it's literally me. And also, let's not forget, she didn't even change her voice. I was like, girl, I was like, you know, I used to say, this is what I say in the show too. I'm like, she had the psychosis, not the range. I was like, you're not even going to be like, hey, something, hey, you know, like nothing. Like,
you can't even almost. I feel like it feels so more funny. Believable that she didn't try to do an accent, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, kudos to the commitment, you know?
Absolutely, you're so right. And so I'm meeting Al, you know, I'm hanging out with Al. I have a whole song in the musical that kind of chronicles all of the celebrities that I was friends with and I befriended. And here's some others that were in there. The members of Green Day.
Yes.
Every single one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And you know, Alanis Morissette, duh.
Hot stuff.
Hot stuff. And the whole cast of Charmed, obviously.
Oh, nice.
Of course.
You know, there were some other people peppered in there were like,
wow, didn't they worry about getting typecast as witches and like giving away their secret? Like ballsy move.
Yeah, when
ballsy.
When I was hanging out with Shannon Doherty at a sleepover, she opened up about that. She was like,
yeah, sure.
She's like, I can't believe I got fired. Rose McGowan's a bitch. I just didn't even know.
It has to be her. There's no one else on this earth that could have known that about her.
So funny. So exactly. And that's the other thing. She would kind of pepper in these secrets, right? That like that were making me feel like, oh, this has to be true because, you know, Al Pacino is depressed. And who could guess that? Who could guess that? Or I don't know, stuff like that. Meryl Streep was in there. And then I know Meryl, and so grounded. And she was incredibly grounded and kind to me. Now, then so I'm meeting all these celebs. I'm like, oh my God.
I like how we started out asking for a bird's eye view of this. And now we're like, name every celebrity.
No, it's like, it's so hard.
I don't care.
To,
we need to go deep.
Have to go deep because it's like, I can't, it's so hard for me to summarize the show, especially when I pitch it to like theaters. That's why I call it Sex Witch the Musical, because people are like, oh, witchy, sexy, like sexy time. And then they're like, oh my God, what happened to you? You know? So I have to kind of frame it like that. But so Al Pacino was in there, Meryl Streep. Then eventually we get into Harry Potter. Okay. The cast of Harry Potter. They're all in there. They're all in there. Every single person. Deanna Radcliffe, my best friend. Emma Watson, my enemy. I mean, she was in there. I wasn't as close with Emma. But then eventually she was kind of introducing the idea of me having a lover that was a warlock, okay, that I'm able to hook up with through her while he's
in
the parallel universe. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the person that she chose, and I have a whole song that reveals this person, and it's a pretty funny song. It's like one of the lines is like, he had a red hair. He was famous at the time. and it's like, and then what was it? Oh, he fucked me hard through Bethany. You guys get that, right? So I was dating a movie star. And yeah, he was a secret warlock and I thought I owned his magical cock through Bethany. You guys, okay. So, He had red hair. He was famous at the time. Women wanted him, but he was all mine. and his name, and his name. And then I do like a whole, like, you know, Alanis Morissette, like, it is, nah, yeah, 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 you know, and I'm like going on and on. People are like, who is it? And then I'm like, was Rupert Grint. And
oh,
Rupert,
yeah. Grint,
you know, who played Ron Weasley in Harry Potter, yeah. Was, oh, and the line is, oh yeah, there was no one hotter. I'm talking about the guy who played Ron Weasley in Harry Potter for Gen Z. You know, in the, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're not aware. So yeah. So then Rupert Grint like became my lover through her for like a year. Bizarre. So and I know.
You know the term like scaroused? What's the one for like, I need a word
for the opposite.
For like fascinated and also like horrified.
I know.
Like, I feel like Ellie and I both are just like, I want nothing more than to listen to this for the next hour. And also I want to just scared. Like give yeah. you a hug.
I know. See that, this, listen, the way you're reacting is very common. This is totally normal.
You're like, this is a normal human response to this story.
And people, yeah. when they see the show, it's a similar reaction. They're like, that was really funny, but oh my God. You know? And look, I've been a comedian for years and I love performing and I love singing and I've, you know, been on stage. As I say, I live and die for the stage. So I was like, I got to tell this story somehow. I want it to be funny. I would never, you know, do a one woman show that's like a downer and everyone's like, okay, that was a lot, but it's a really dark subject matter, you know? So I'm happy that you're feeling fascinated and all, you know, like weirded out. That's kind of what I want. So, but anyway, Rupert Grint, lover for a year. She would do all this like sexual stuff to me as him. And you know what I found weird? Now, this is where it gets a little dark. Now stay with me. So this is in the musical when I'm doing it. And I'm like, guys, don't get sad. It's a musical. Because there's all these moments where everyone's like, oh my God. So she would keep, this is what I found weird. Like we had a little sexual relationship, the two of us, right? Me and Bethany, like as ourselves. And then
separate from Rupert.
Sure. Yeah, cheating. on like we had these like secrets and then it's all her, right? But then I'm still thinking that I have these separate private relationships with people. So Rupert became my boyfriend and we were like in love and all of this stuff or whatever. There was a point where he proposed to me. Not to brag. And you both are like, oh my God. and same. So he proposed to me. I was like, oh my God, yes. Yeah. Like I will.
Wait. Totally. And so you're 14 at this point.
I'm 14. Mm-hmm. And this is another.
Did he have a ring?
There was something like, was there a ring? I'm actually so glad. Please ask me all these questions because to be honest, a lot of these memories are repressed.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. It was abusive.
I mean,
traumatic.
But why? Yes.
Yeah.
But why? Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And then I had to go to the journal to like, and I bring the journal. It's in the show. I have it with me still. Like it's in my apartment where I have everything. So he proposed, was there a ring? I'm like, I don't think there was a ring, but something she would do would be like, oh, just so you know, like that hit song is for you because the
oh my God.
Yeah. Like the witches and the warlocks, they control pop culture, classic. And that song is actually about you. So I remember one of the songs and also time did not matter in this. So it could be a song from the 60s or like that then. So
in the other universe, does time even run the same as our reality?
I think it didn't. It sort of sure. did. Like she'd be like, oh, right now Rupert's in the house, like thinking about you. And I'm like, of course he is. Like,
you know, like he always is.
He's always thinking about me, like in the house. And eventually I can be with him in this house. It was like this promise, you know what I mean? That we could eventually be together in real life kind of thing. So anytime I would watch Harry Potter, and Harry Potter was like huge at this time, you know, it's truly yeah. like a global sensation.
Yeah, when this is what, in the like aughts, early aughts?
This is like 2005 to 2007.
Okay, okay.
So, and I actually...
Mid to late aughts.
Exactly,
sure.
Exactly. So
the heyday.
The heyday.
Oh my God, this was like right before book seven came
literally,
out.
Literally, yeah. Did I go to the Barnes & Noble midnight parties every year? Yes, I did. And I...
Rupert didn't hook you up with like special passes?
VIP passes?
Wow, like, when you hear the end of the story, you're gonna freak out. So
nice.
Now... So basically, and please come in with questions because this is helpful. It will help me remember things. And because I have the show kind of like, you know, it's an hour format where I hit all the main points, but there's so much. That-
no, we want the weeds. Want the nitty gritty right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the journal, like the way I was writing as a 14-year-old, I'm like, okay, she's verbose. You know, okay, she knows a lot of vocabulary, apparently. You know, like she wants to tell a story. And it was so much output, not a lot of like input aside from what I was going through with this girl. So now when she would do stuff to me, like sexually, she would always keep her clothes on, which I found odd. And then I was naked. And I mean, I don't know really what that was about. I mean, to this day, I don't understand really what her personal motivations were sexually. I mean, I understand that she was probably getting some pleasure for this and but it was also like twisted and fucked up. And I maybe it was more of a power trip for her. It seemed to me that she was enjoying it.
I feel like trying to investigate psychoses too much is like a fool's errand.
Right. That's a great point. Because I
You're using like a rational person's brain approach to, you know, just a delicate Jenga tower of thoughts. It just feels like it's gonna collapse on you there.
Totally. Now, also at this time, we had a lot of different sexual experiences, which I actually don't have like a, you know, they're in the repressed box where things go.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in there. But I chronicled these experiences through, you know, heavy written erotica. Don't worry. where I'm like, Rupert, you know, made me explode. Was I coming? No, I wasn't. But, you know, I thought I was at 14.
Oh, poor Rupert, man.
Poor Rupert. Just an explosive lover. So, yeah. So I was going through all of that. I was really, you know, I mean, I was convinced that this was real for a time there, because she was very convincing. There was a lot of setup. There was a lot of trust. There was a lot of like, oh, by the way, I can read your mind. So I'll know if you're like doubting. And if you do doubt, then you're never going to get to the house. And I'm like, damn it. Okay.
This legit is cult
stuff.
It
is. Like, yeah. It really is. And I didn't realize that. I'm telling you till like.
Dude, what the fuck happened to Bethany in Albania, man? Like.
Okay. Great question. Now, she told me before we started all this that she had a friend named Claire. And she showed me a picture of her. And Claire was from Greece. So when you mentioned your, you know, Greece vacation, I was triggered. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You're like,
yeah
God, I heard Greece is born beautiful.
Born a girl.
I'm like, okay, so like she wants to trigger me.
So sorry.
No, it's all good. She told me that she had this friend from Greece who she went to school with that did this to her. So I don't know if that's true. It could be. I kind of think it must be but then I think it's so funny because let's say Claire did do this to her, right? And then she's like, you have to carry this on. I assume it was that. I will never know, but
yeah.
You have to carry this on. When you go to America, you better carry on my
continue
legacy.
Continue the tradition.
And then, you know, me, classic, you know, cycle breaker, where I'm like, I'm going to write a musical. I'm not going to do this to anyone else. I'm just going to write, like, put on like a funny, quirky show. Anyways, so
everyone processes their shit differently.
I have
a full length musical.
Yes, and I was like in the show. I play piano, and there's like a moment in the show where I'm like, guys, you know, I broke the cycle. Like, now I have a musical. Highly recommend processing trauma through just like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, guaranteed.
It's very helpful.
Guaranteed foolproof method for processing trauma. Just like, blah, blah, blah. So that's really helped me. And, but so I I'm glad you asked that because I don't know. I assume that Claire, who I saw a picture of and who was her classmate, I guess in seventh grade in Albania or Greece, I forget where, like if she was in Greece or if she was in Albania, I can't remember, did this to her. And then she also would describe Claire as like the queen of the underworld. So Claire was like the devil's wife. The devil was involved, you know. I mean, he was a pal, and
the devil was in the house.
The devil was kind of
a devil in Al Pacino.
I mean, honestly, I have to. That's another thing that I'm like have to revisit because there was so much that I'm just like, it's like a memory assault of like, was the devil in the house? I think that there was like a force, and then that was the devil, and that was Claire, the friend who was also, this is important too. She was like the person that's going to be training you, who is kind of like a dark witch who will train you through me and who trained me as well, is a celebrity, a British celebrity that we all know and love, Kate Beckinsale.
Oh my God. You know what I really love about this though? Is I love the idea that like, you're just two teenagers in New York, but every other person in this like mystical plane of existence is like a fucking A-list Hollywood star. it's like a fucking, you know, like who's who of like Hollywood royalty, and then you two.
And the devil.
I know. Like, just your typical Friday night gathering of friends.
Wait, so this is Kate Beckinsale, like, from the underworld.
It's
like an obvious Beckinsale because I saw that movie.
Yep. Exactly, because I saw that movie. So I have a whole song where I'm like, it's called Bethany's Interests at the Time. And then it's like, thinking back, I think this cult reflected Bethany's interest at the time. You know, like that's kind of the thesis of that song. So, Kate Beckinsale.
Bethany shows up one day and she's like, oh my God, I found this hot new band. And you'll never guess who's in
that. Exactly. Exactly.
It's the lead singer of this hot new band I discovered yesterday.
Exactly. And that was a big part of our relationship too, was like her exposing me to things in pop culture that she liked. You know, she was like, I love Green Day. And yeah, they're all warlocks, just like you said, you know, like,
right. Yeah, right.
And there's this moment in the show too, where I'm like, and so at one point, and Trey Cool, the drummer from Green Day, was like her warlock lover.
Mm, oh, of course.
Of course.
Classic, you know? And and they like had kids or something, whatever.
Okay. Not to like, derail us, please, a little bit. What I find so fascinating right now is that heteronormativity of the pairings in what is very clearly like a very gay
queer relationship.
And that's a great point because, you know, people are like, is that how you figured out your sexuality? And I'm like, well, not really, because
you're like, no, I was fucking Rupert Grint.
Exactly.
There's nothing gay about this.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, because we went to different high schools, thank God, because had we gone to the same high school, I think I would have been like so wrapped up in that and had to have transferred or something. But we were in different high schools in New York, and I kept this a secret from all my friends in high school. Nobody knew. But I remember so clearly, you know, there being a moment in ninth grade where like all girls Catholic school are like going around like, are you a virgin? Are you a virgin? And some girl was like, I got fingered like the other week at a party. And in my head, I'm like, bitch, I get fingered every night by Rupert Grint. Okay. So like, I'm literally advanced.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream. That's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God.
Oh my Insane. God. Insane.
But so you know what it feels like? Okay, this is, and maybe this is also just because of like the era.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you used to watch Xena or if Bethany was into Xena for any reason. But you know, there's like, there's that episode where they like, they totally had Xena and Gabrielle kiss, but it wasn't a kiss because she was in Autolycus's body at the time. And so it wasn't like, it was just Autolycus and Gabrielle kissing and like nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like the inverse of that, right?
It's totally,
it's
like that.
The flip way of that where you're like, yeah, we're two girls, but like I'm fucking Rupert Grint.
Exactly. So
like, totally straight hetero. Just hetero normal stuff over here. You
absolutely
know?
It's very much like that. So yeah, I didn't
Xena
understand.
Was also in another magical realm at the time. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I don't recall that Xena was a part of it. That might have been
Lucy Lawless wasn't in the house. Let her in the fucking house.
You're like, wait, so Tom Cruise was not
and
in
Lucy
it.
Lawless didn't make the cut.
But yeah, I mean, you're so right, because I look back on that and I don't even understand it myself. I mean, I mean, I'm not like, oh, this formed my sexuality. It's like so much weirder than that. You know, I'm still processing it as a 31-year-old woman. You know what I mean? I'm like, what was that?
I think as you should be.
Absolutely. Like, because I also didn't realize that this was, I have a joke about this in the show too. I didn't realize this was abusive until like 5 years ago. Okay. When I went to a therapist and she was like, oh my God. So I didn't know. I just thought, oh, this is a weird thing that happened to me. Like, you know, yes, it was bad and it was weird, but like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know why this happened. So I'm just going to tell this story and kind of figure it out. And I've been able to have, you know, a normal life of, you know, beautiful friends and performing all the time and all of that stuff despite this. So I'm glad for that. But
I mean, I don't see a photo of Rupert Grint on the wall behind you. So like, well,
actually,
oh my God.
So like, cut to my
Please,
shrine.
How funny would it be if you turned the camera and there's just like a life-size cardboard cutout of Rupert?
Oh, I was going to say, when you were like, you're like, you will not believe the ending of the story. And you like actually turn the camera and Rupert Grint is sitting next to you.
Oh my God. Literally, in the show, I'm just like, so basically, like, plot twist, we're still together. Rupert, come on out.
Come on, baby. Yeah, say that would be the best.
I mean, honestly, one of my goals for the show is for Rupert Grint to see it. Honestly, I feel like he will. I feel like he must.
At
right?
some point, it's going to get into the pop culture so much.
This for you,
right?
Okay.
Because it's like, he was such a weird part of my formative years in a way that he would be so weirded out by, you know? And luckily, like you were saying, right, all these A-listers, right? And then everything around me is like weirdly part of it too. Luckily, I don't have, it's not like I'm triggered when I watch Harry Potter. I feel like my brain protected me in the right way. It like hit all of the scary, spooky memories. And all of the sex stuff, I have the erotica, obviously, to prove it. But then all of this other stuff, I was like, I still love Alanis. I still love Green Day. I still love, you know, Harry Potter. Oh, and this is another thing that I was going to say earlier was that, so in the peak of this relationship, I went to see Green Day live a few times. I was lucky enough, like my mom, like got me tickets to like this New Jersey concert. I went to see Green Day. I remember thinking, I can't believe they're not bringing me on stage. This is insane.
Like I talked to them about it yesterday.
You're like, these are my best friends and they're not gonna say like come backstage.
Wow, I know. Fucking rude, man.
It was I felt offended. I was like, I was like, they're working.
They're working.
They're swamped. Oh, Billy Joe's doing like Wake Me Up with September Ends. I'm like, why am I not up there? So anyway, I forget I went off the rails there, but I forget where we were in terms of what you asked or said.
We don't know.
I don't know either.
We have no clue.
Maybe here's what I'll do so that I can like catapult us into more discussion. How did you get out. Because listen, as someone who like I, as my TikTok has discovered about me, like I get a lot of like ex-Mormon, you know, like journey stories. Yeah. So I'm like, tell me how you broke out. Like, what was the freedom call?
So
what happened?
There were a series of things, right? Because that's always how the cult release happens. There's a series of moments of doubt, but then there's this culminating
moment. I ran into Rupert Grint on a sidewalk and he didn't know who I was, you know?
Well, so you're not that far off.
I love this so much. I love it.
Yeah. So basically, this is how...
I just want to say I'm really nailing this.
You really are. I mean, yeah. You really are kind of like, okay, so yeah, I mean, yeah, you are. No one has ever guessed that. But essentially, so like I said, I had all the journals, right? My mom, my sweet mother, Dorothy, who I am very close with, and she lives like 20 minutes from me. And we grew up in Harlem, like with my brothers and my dad and all that. She didn't like Bethany. Can you believe it? And weird. She found my journal one day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Read the whole thing.
Oh, no.
Read all of it. All of the erotica. All of the Rupert Grint erotica. All of it.
Like an actual nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And I was in high school at this time. And she was like, what the fuck is this? You know, rightly so. Like, I'm sorry. She was like, I'm sorry, you're dating a warlock? Excuse me? And then there's a whole scene that I have in the show where it's like, is a young wizard boy really eating you out? Like,
oh my God.
I know. And I was like, Mom, no. And I basically, the only way that I knew how to, you know, get through this was to be like, it's all made up. Like, I'm just, and then there's a joke in the show where I'm like, then it got me thinking that maybe it actually was made up, you know, like, because I told
her. If I had pearls, this is when I would start clutching them right now.
It's such a pearl clutch moment. And I was like mortified. I was like, oh my God, she read the whole thing. I mean, you know, and I was like, how could you violate my privacy? And like all this stuff. And then she was like, you can't hang out with Bethany anymore. You're grounded. You can't go. You cannot go to her house. You can't call her. I will be watching your phone. I had a little flip phone. You cannot talk to her. So I wasn't able to hang out with her. And I needed some, and that was good. Cause I was starting to have doubts anyway. I was like, huh, it seems like I'm not at the house yet. It doesn't seem like I'll ever get to the house. And there was all these delays, you know, all of these, oh, well, actually the house is, you know, under
construction.
Yeah.
Yes. They're putting a new bathroom in. Okay.
So hilarious. Oh my God.
Gotta renovate the kitchen, make it nice for you.
So like funny.
New appliances.
That's okay? Hilarious. I might have to stay that under construction line. We were like right here for that. Wow. That is amazing. I have to put that on the show. Honestly, I hope you don't mind if I put that under construction line.
Because
that is so funny.
Oh my God.
So the house was not available. Now, here's what happened. There were all these little things that happened, but this is the moment. Now, because I grew up in New York City, right? I went to, and this is all on the show, I went to Total Request Live a lot.
Mm.
Yeah. And
nice,
right? Carson Daly, my boy. So now, this was a friend that...
You know, we have to ask, did Carson Daly make the cut?
He did not.
He's not. Carson. I don't know if he's A-list.
I don't know if he's A-list enough. Yeah.
Love him, but...
We love Carson, but he was not involved. And so, but this was... I had a couple friends in high school. They didn't know this was going on, but like I had these other relationships and I was also doing theater and all of this stuff. So I was making friends. Also, at one point, she was like, you can never perform again if you want to get to the house. Like, she saw me in a production of Once Upon a Mattress as Princess Winifred. And she was like, good job, but you can't do theater anymore. I was like, and I never stopped doing it, whatever. But I had this other friend who was really into like emo music and all of this stuff. So we would go to TRL. You could go for free and you could be in the studio audience like for free. Now, there was this other show, lesser known show. Now, maybe you remember this, probably not though. It was called The Sauce and it was on the Fuse channel. So the Fuse channel was like, this show was like the shittier version of TRL. It aired for 1 year, 2007, 2008. Now in that year I attended a lot. I saw like Evanescence, Kelly Clarkson,
amazing,
all of this stuff. And you could go for free. Like this was, I mean, I was excited. I lived in New York. I was able to do this. It was by Penn Station, this studio. So I one day went by myself because I knew that Rupert Grint was going to be a celebrity guest.
Oh, okay. My God.
Yeah. So I was 15. I was alone and I was determined to figure out, you know, whether or not he was my warlock boyfriend. So I went to this show without telling her, and he was there, like in the flesh, Rupert Grint. This was July 13th, 2007. There's a YouTube video of his interview, and I'm in the studio audience. I was there. I was by myself. Now, she told me if I were ever to encounter any of these people up close in person, that I would be able to be to like communicate with them telepathically. Okay.
Of course. Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. So there's this whole scene in the show where I'm like, I'm playing the video and I'm like, like trying to
trying
to
say
him.
Like, yeah.
Yes. Trying to be like, like, it's me. Like, you
you know me.
Like, you eat me out. Like, you're like my husband, God. Like all of this like stuff. And then he, and I was like, please just look over at me. If you, if this is real, like, I just need to know, I need to know that this is real. And if you look over at me and acknowledge me, then I'll know. And if you don't, then I'll know it's fake. I will just know. It's either one or the other. I was just at this crux in how I felt about the whole thing and how she was treating me and what my mom had said and not being able to be around her. And then he's doing this interview and I'm like, I'm going to give you one last chance to look over at me. And then he doesn't look over. Right. And that's when I knew, like, that is when I knew that this was a lie. This was all a lie. And then I confronted Bethany and I was like, you're a liar. Like, you know, this was, you tricked me. And I was really pissed. I was like, you know, fuck you, motherfucker, you know, all this stuff. And I remember she never was like, sorry. She was just like, okay, believe what you want to believe, you know, classic. And then I never saw her again after that. It's so weird. She moved away. I think she moved to Westchester and I never saw her again after that. And that's how I figured out that this was fake. There were a series of other things, but that was the culminating moment.
That is wild.
I desperately want to know if there's like someone else out there who like one day is going to like see your show or listen to this and be like, oh my God, Bethany.
I know. I wonder too.
And they're going to be like, oh my God, I was engaged to Al Pacino.
Right. I mean, I wonder too. I wonder if there were other victims. I don't know. I wonder. I have a feeling though that she got it out of her system with me. For some reason, I just get that sense.
Does one get psychosis out of their system?
I don't know.
I don't know, though. But also, like, being a teenage girl is buck wild.
It is.
I'm just like, I feel like there are a lot.
But Ellie, there's like normal,
but
wild,
I know,
and
it's
then
not,
there's this.
No, like, I know it's like definitely not normal. But I'm just saying, like, being a teenage girl, like, I can understand how you would be like, okay, like, maybe that was something she did when she also did when she was 14.
Yeah.
And then she also at a certain point was like, what was I doing?
Right. I mean, I never got any closure with her. I think she reached out to me at one point, maybe when I was like 17, and was like, are you ready to talk about what happened? And I was like, I never want to talk to you.
No.
But this is crazy. And this will be the darkest thing, I will say.
Okay. I was going to say, tell her you're ready when you make it to the house. You'll talk. Okay.
I'll see you at the house.
We can talk at the house.
I'm like, I'll see you on the porch of the house. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. The darkest thing, not to like preface your dark.
Right. But this is really disturbing. So my best friend, who's still my best friend to this day, I was her maid of honor and all that. And she grew up with me and knew me before this happened and also knew this girl, but then we all went to different high schools. Didn't know what, she knew this was happening on some level, but she didn't know how to stop it. She was like, I just don't know. This is like a force bigger than me. Years later, she ran into Bethany and was like, kind of confronted her on my behalf a little bit and was like, hey, why did you do that? You know, why did you do that to Maggie? Like, can you give me a quick summary of why you did that to Maggie? And then Bethany was like, and this is a quote that I learned years later. She was like, well, I had to do it to somebody. Weird.
What?
Yeah. And then,
no, thank you.
This gets weirder. She goes, if it wasn't going to be Maggie, it was going to be my younger sister. Yeah. Oof.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, who was a sweetheart. That sister, who I saw all the time. I mean, she lived there. She was a couple years younger than us. She was always like, you guys are weird. And I'm like, I should have listened. And imagine that she had done this. I mean, that's why I kind of think I have this theory that I literally am discovering on this podcast, because you were like, did she have a friend that did that to her? I'm like, maybe the friend was like, you need to pick one person to do it to, but just one or something. I mean, imagine it. She had done it to her sister, and then her sister's like with her abuser and her family.
No, yeah.
This happens to people all the time.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all of this is fucked.
It's like, all fucked.
All of this is fucked. We're laughing a lot.
But yes.
It's very not okay.
It's not. But I'm almost glad that it was me.
You made a musical out of it.
Exactly.
So like,
because instead of like, you know, picking my next person, I wonder if that would have been part of it. Like, if I hadn't broken away from this, if she's like, well, now you have to do this to someone. And instead I'm like, well, actually, I'm going to like learn piano. you know, like, yes. I don't know. I mean, it's very on. And also to add this freaky little factoid, she's married now and has a kid. I mean, she has a daughter. It's so weird.
The yikes that just happened in my heart.
I know,
right,
and you're
now.
Mom. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, I wonder, I like send good vibes to the universe for her daughter having this sociopathic parental figure.
I so desperately wish we had a sponsor that I could just be like, and now let's cut to an ad for therapy.
Yeah, literally.
Yes.
I know.
We still can.
I know. And I've
Let's
done a
take
lot
a quick
of-
break and listen to someone tell you, you can get therapy for cheap somewhere, right?
Totally. Like,
someone sponsor us is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like this anticlimactic end to it, but that's the story.
Wow.
I know. It's
no climax with Rupert, no climax to the story.
Yeah, oh my god. No physical or plot climax. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like would be the ultimate story, right? If I like he sees the show and he's like, that was really good.
Yeah,
that was a great British accent.
Thank you.
Can you imagine? I'm sorry, just perform this thought experiment with me.
Yeah.
Imagine you're Rupert Grint.
Yeah.
And you walk into a show, no idea, right?
You're Rupert Grint and you're like, oh, sex witch sounds interesting.
you're like, oh my gosh, hot new show. Like totally, just caught my eye.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go see Sex Witch the musical. And you're sitting in the dark in the audience. Like, can you imagine what that experience would be like?
Part
of me wants this so badly to happen.
I would really love it if that would happen.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
I have a question for you,
please.
Obviously, this
sitting in the audience, being like, "Look over at me, look at me."
Oh my god!
Oh my god. That is that's amazing. Wow, wild. That's the ultimate dream.
I'm sorry, Ellie. Ask a question.
Wow. I was gonna ask a serious question, Lee, but
I'm so sorry.
This should happen to you. It is buck wild, crazy. And what made you be like, I need to make this a musical?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I always performed. I always sang, and I started doing stand up. Maybe he's like 6 years ago. So I was doing stand-up and then I was also doing musical improv and I still do that. I have a monthly show. Oh, quick plug, True Crime, the musical. Everyone's like, you have a lot of creepy musicals. It's hard to keep up. So where I improvise a musical with my friend and it's really fun. But yeah, so there was a year where there was like a festival at the People's Improv Theater, SoloCom Festival. And you could basically submit to it and you didn't really have to have anything, you know, ready. You just had to, there was kind of a deadline and you submit and then like you have like a month to sort of think of a solo show. And I just always wanted to tell this story, but in a funny way, because that's who I am and that's what's important to me. And I was like, I love singing. I love playing piano. I want to do stand-up. I want to involve. I want to tell this story somehow. And it just was kind of an extension of what I was already doing. And then me also feeling the need to share this story in a funny way. So I was like, of course it's going to be like, it made sense to me. I'm like, duh, it's obviously a musical, you know,
obviously.
And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, I love stand-up comedy. I do it all the time, but sometimes I'm like, how do I fit in like my little songs? And I also do musical comedy too, but this was more of an arc and sort of captured all the things I wanted to do on stage. And then also, you know, weirdly is telling this insane thing that happened to me. So that's why it felt normal to me.
Yeah.
Here's what I love is that's like, because Ellie knows this because we talk about it all the time, that I'm like, oh. Ellie has sort of reluctantly turned me into the songwriter of our team.
Amazing.
And I say all the time how I'm like, I love our like setup because I can write all sorts of songs and like none of them are about me, right? Like they're all, I'm like, there's just like this nice like wall of separation, yes, between me and like all the songs I write for us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like the dead opposite extreme of that is like getting up
is
on stage,
Sex, Witch, the musical?
Reading my teenage journal,
yes,
and then singing about the teen magic sex cult I was in.
Yeah.
There's like one extreme and then there's the opposite extreme.
Totally.
And I just love that we're laying out like the two ends of that spectrum for everyone.
Absolutely. You know? No, I agree. And yeah, I mean, it's been cool to write these songs because I remember I wrote them kind of quickly and then I'm still adding to them. The show has definitely evolved over the years, but I just added a little new song there the other night. It's very Alanis.
Nice.
Just to honor the queen. But yeah, I mean, honestly, as I'm writing the songs, I'm like laughing to myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, that's so stupid. Oh, that's so fun. You know, whatever. I mean, it's very healing for me in a lot of ways. It really, and I don't think I realize how much it has helped me understand and process what happened to me because it just felt so big. It just felt like this huge life-changing period of two years of my life that I, you know, I could see as, you know, a weakness, but I thought to myself, well, and I'm also not like trying to capitalize on my trauma, if that makes sense. I'm really not. I just really...
I think we should all capitalize on our trauma as best we can.
Oh, right? My God.
You lived
no,
through the
right.
trauma, man.
Yeah.
Like, make a buck off it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I thought, I mean, again, I didn't even realize this was that abusive until like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then writing the show has really helped me revisit a lot of it. And it's been great. And I love it. It makes me laugh. I'm like, at least I'm laughing about it, you know, and other people are laughing too. So
we are having a blast talking about your trauma.
Yay!
Yeah. Okay, I have another question because
please.
I know, I mean, God help us. This episode could run like 2 hours.
Truly,
at this point.
Truly.
I could sit here all night. I want to ask, when did you come out? Like what, because it doesn't sound like it was during this.
It
right?
was not during this. I mean, listen, I'm bisexual, you know, I don't think there was a coming out moment for me. And I think that is also linked. Yeah, there wasn't a
is
coming out.
Is it bad
out.
If I say like, sure, that tracks based?
I mean, it definitely tracks. No, it definitely
you're like,
tracks.
Sure, I had sex with Rupert Grint in a girl's body. Of course you're bisexual.
Well, that's the thing. So I yes. never, I actually never had a coming out moment. I mean, I date men and women and that's kind of my thing. I don't even... So I hope that's not, you know, a problem. You're like, well, delete the episode.
No, not at
no,
all.
No.
Not
we
at
always
all.
Say, let's hang out. We're the less part of that.
Right,
statement.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So I didn't really have a coming out moment because, again, I didn't even associate my, like the pleasure I was feeling.
Do the kids not come out as
her?
Bisexual anymore? Is this just like,
I think they don't.
Everyone who's
I,
straight.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I mean,
what's heterosexuality?
Never right. I mean, I'm also... I don't know. I never felt like I was burdened by my bisexuality, especially growing up in New York City. So I didn't feel the need to come out, if that makes sense.
And yeah. We're not burdened by you either, bisexuals.
Okay.
We love you all.
Great. Oh gosh. Yeah.
No bisexual burdens here.
Yes. Yes. But also people ask me after they see the show, they're like, oh, so are you gay? Are you straight? Are you... I don't even think of that moment or the pleasure I experienced during that time as like a formative sexual moment, if that makes sense. I think I said that earlier because it was just so weird. And I don't even, I mean, I was definitely enjoying it on some level for sure, but it's also like, it was so one-sided almost. I mean, yes, I was having these sexual experiences with this girl, and I've had really great sexual experiences with men and women since, and weird ones and bad ones, as everybody does. But that was a very unique sexual dynamic, which I have never experienced before and or since. Thank God.
Unique is a gentle term for describing that.
Exactly. I also think like sexual trauma is like separate from like discovering your sexuality.
Absolutely.
No, I know, but that's why I was curious, because I'm like, it doesn't sound like it was part of this whole story, and I'm curious like where that all fell after, because holy shit, that's just
it's crazy.
Something.
It's something. And also, I mean, I'm so glad. Well, you both are so hilarious and fun and intelligent, and you're helping me understand it more. I'm telling you,
great. When I want to talk about this for like hours. Like,
let's
hang
out therapy.
Know,
we're here for you.
Yeah. It was, I mean, honestly, I'm going to listen back, because I discovered some things that I didn't know before based on some of your questions. You know, I mean, I'm grateful. Honestly, it helped me go deeper into the story, because.
Oh my God, you're like, I want to listen to the episode. And I'm like, let's write another musical together.
Well, I have to see Flame.
It's not See, You Gotta Listen To It. It's a podcast.
Oh my gosh. That is incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, I love it. And will there ever be a live performance?
We did a live show. We actually did one at 54 Below. In New York.
Oh my God, amazing.
So we did a little live concert.
That is awesome. And
just of the music, not the whole
eventually
like
songs. It's a bit tougher to produce than a one woman show, because it's like eight people.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like more yeah. of like a big ensemble show.
Yeah.
So you gotta like get the funding
We're
for
hoping,
that.
We're
totally.
Hoping.
Totally.
But yes, the plan is to get it up live.
Fantastic. I'll be there. I will be there. Yeah.
Okay, now listen, I have another question.
Yeah, please.
I have to ask it. I hate myself for asking this, but has your mom seen the show? Like, what is her?
Oh, yeah.
What is,
she, what my
is
mom.
That? What is that story?
So Dorothy, my sweet angel mom, who is 75.
I already love your mom.
She
I don't know why.
Is the
I
best. Just, no, she, okay. when I tell you that my mom has seen it, probably 10 times. I mean that. And she goes, literally, she lives in New York. And also my dad has seen it too. And my dad actually passed away a couple years ago, and he was 82. And like, it's so funny. I have this, people are like, oh my God, are you sad that your dad like didn't get to walk you down the aisle? I'm like, well, he saw Sex Witch the musical. So I feel like it's fine.
That's all that matters.
And honestly, my dad was so like sweet. We called him Franis. His name is Frank. We called him Franis. So I think of him as Franis. But he would come see me do stand up, and it was like weird stand up. And he would see Sex Witch musical, and he'd be like, "What was that up there?" And like, and then but still be like, "But they were laughing," you know. And like, he was always very proud of that. So I am so grateful that I have parents that were supportive of my artistic journey. I have two older brothers who have not seen it, and I have a line in the show that's like, I think it would make them uncomfortable. What do you guys think? And I'm like, that could be another step, but I feel like my two older brothers, like, do they want to see their sister being like, because the main chorus, the first chorus in the show, which really draws people in, it's like, I mostly just got eaten out. That's what being a witch is about. So like, and everyone's like, I always think that to myself.
Oh my God.
So my mom has seen it many times, to the point where she was at one of my shows. Like, I was just doing musical comedy at West Side Comedy Club recently, like doing other songs I had written, not Sex Witch the Musical, but she came to see it because she like lives in the area. And some of my friends who have met her so many times, like, she's like one of the gals, you know, they're like, are you going to come see Sex Witch the Musical at Soho Playhouse? And my mom's like, I've literally seen it like 17 times, but yeah.
Nice.
I guess I'll do 18.
Yep.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want our listeners to know about?
I
want to
hang out with your mom.
Sex Witch the Musical.
Gosh, I mean, all I can say is that I am really proud of the show. Despite how dark and twisted it is, it is really funny. And I think you could probably tell from this episode that it will be fun and entertaining. And I'm really excited to this. I mean, this is a huge step for it to take it off Broadway and have a 3-week run at Soho Playhouse. I've wanted this for a long time and I'm really excited it's happening. And I hope people come and support it. And I also hope that it's healing potentially for some people. A lot of people have come up to me after and been like, I really related to that. And my first question is like, which part? But ultimately it is a relatable story in a lot of ways, you know, people experience.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, Ellie, like, I know you said like being a teenage girl is like a wild time, but it's also like realistically, I mean, I think a lot of women have traumatic sexual
coming of age, sexual experiences
that
yes.
have happened Absolutely. In their lives. And like, Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like sometimes having a lighthearted take on that is actually really great.
Yeah, so. I hope so. So that's all I can say. I hope people come out to see it and I hope it's entertaining and potentially healing for them.
Incredible.
Yeah. Love it. And when and where can they see it?
So it'll be at Soho Playhouse for 3 weeks starting April 19th. It's Wednesday through Saturday, 20th, 21st, 22nd at 7 p.m. The 26th to the 29th at 7 p.m. And then the following week, May 3rd to May 6th at 7 p.m. So yeah, I hope people come out.
Very exciting. And congratulations.
Oh my gosh.
I wish
I was in New York.
That's super exciting. I know. I wish you were too. And I've done it.
Bring it to the Bay.
I honestly have been thinking of doing that. So if I do, please come out. Yeah.
Do it. Oh my God, please.
Yeah. So
all right. It is time for our Q&A. Are you ready? We're just gonna ask you some multiple choice or yes or no questions. Easy lightning round. Here we go.
Q and gay.
Question number one. Super easy question. Are you a witch? Yes or no?
You know,
nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
I will say currently I am not, but my relationship to witchcraft has changed for the better in recent years. That's amazing.
Nice. You're reclaiming amazing. Witchcraft.
I really am. Yeah. Now I think it Good. Is more of like affirmations with a candle on. And that's my witchcraft. Great. So, yeah.
I feel like I should also say
vision boards on a full moon.
Oh, vision. Literally. I'm like, my vision board's right over there.
Yes.
You guys are on it. This is so weird. Oh,
yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So we may have covered some of these already, but we put them on our Twitter as well for our listeners to answer. Yeah. So with that, question two, how did you track your childhood memories out of A, journals, B, vlogs, C, photo albums, or D, repress everything?
Well, I guess it's a combination of journals and repress everything.
Hot, hot, hot. Hot combo.
Yeah, hot combo.
Love a good repression. Oh my God. These questions are really, I'm like,
this I'm is sorry.
A, question three. Have you ever been in a cult? A, yes.
Wait, are these questions you ask every guest these exact questions?
No. Everyone is based on the episodes we do.
I was like, this is so uncanny.
I can't believe they fit so well.
They fit so well. I'm like, this is insane. The stars are aligned. Yes, I have been in a cult. Yes.
And then, yeah, the other answers for our listeners are B, no, or C, I still am. So we'll see how you are doing on the Twitter poll.
Absolutely. Got it.
Okay. Question four. What would be worse? Your mom, A, dressing you, B, reading your journals, C, sharing baby photos, or D, walking in on you?
Wow. I would, well, since she has done the first three and I survived those, I think walking in on me would be pretty awful. So
there you go.
Thankfully that has never
her
happened.
Next
to
challenge.
Yeah, Dorothy, next please challenge. Don't do that.
Just always knock, Dorothy. Always
Dorothy,
knock.
Dorothy, three out of four. Come on.
Come on. I think you're safe. You've done enough.
Yeah, honestly.
Question number five. Yes. Lee, why is it like I feel like 1, 3, and 5 are like and also to think that you thought
I was like,
we ask everyone yes we ask everyone this specific
been in a cult
wait this I can't even do it.
I know.
He's gonna die.
I was like, oh God.
Question number five that we've asked every single guest prior to you is, who would be your secret witch / warlock lover?
Yeah.
A, Rupert Grint. B, Alanis. C, Meryl Streep. Or D, Al Pacino.
This question.
Every Let's Hang Out guest, you know, gets the same list.
Oh my God. Wow. Wait, so now these are going to Twitter, right? This is what's happening. Okay, got it.
Oh God!
And like
we're all crying, and I wish people could see.
God. This is very cathartic.
It is.
It really is.
Honestly, after what we've been through,
I'm sure what we've all been through.
We all do need to cry a little bit.
Okay, but wait, you didn't pick. Would it still be Rupert, or do you want to switch it up?
I honestly, I feel like I never got to know Meryl as well as I wanted to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Meryl Streep. We were close.
You and every other fucking queer listening right now is like, Meryl,
it's
thank
gonna
you.
It's going to be Meryl.
Not or Alanis.
Oh my God.
So true.
Alanis. I just watched her documentary. I am obsessed with her. But it might be Alanis. It's a tie between Alanis and Meryl. I'll say that.
Sorry, Rupert. God.
Sorry, Rupert. Been there, tapped out. Yeah, you know, not interested.
Over it. Yeah. Done with that.
Done with that.
This has been wild. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. It really has.
Remember, listeners, you can also give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Les Hang Out Pod. I'm dead. Where? So we've talked about the show. Where else can people find you, Maggie, on social media?
Yes. So you can find me at Mags Lals, MAGSLALS, on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter.
I'm following
YouTube.
You right now.
Follow me. I think I followed you both before the pod. Oh, so
awesome.
Amazing.
Yep. Yeah. So follow me there. And I post, you know, I post promo codes for the show as well. So DM me, follow me, and get 50% off tickets. And yeah, so I post a lot of other weird content, stand up and sketch and all that stuff. So hopefully you enjoy.
Listen, can I tell you my favorite thing right now?
Yeah.
Just as our outro, my favorite thing is that we said, give us like a brief overview of the show.
Oh my God,
they talked for over an hour. And it's my favorite thing on the planet.
I was like, how do I even, it. Where do I even begin? You know?
No, it's perfect.
Amazing.
It's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for coming on, Maggie.
Thank
Maggie
you
Lalay.
So
what a blast.
Maggie Lalay. Yes.
What a pleasure.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. So we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out Al, who reached out to us on Instagram to say that as a heterosexual man, he loves our content, and that he's listened to the School for Good and Evil episode about 100 times. So listen, Al, we're so happy you're here. That's so great.
Honestly, I think this is the first time we've shouted out a heterosexual man in our days of...
What an honor,
what
Al.
An honor, what an Al. Honor. You are our first heterosexual to get in the hip hip. We're gay.
Yes.
And it does make me happy to be like, clearly, like, everyone loves us. Even the heteros.
Even the straights. And also, Al requested that we talk about the Gap series. Listen, we just had someone new join our Discord too, talking about how much they love it. So it's on our list. I don't think either of us have watched it yet. I haven't seen it.
So yeah,
I haven't either. So we'll try to get around to it. It's certainly going on our list. Don't you worry, Al. Don't you worry.
Our extensive list. Also, we want to shout out Megan, who reached out also on Instagram with the most beautiful intro, first of all. Guys, ladies, thespians, lesbians, lend me your ears. Loved that.
Incredible.
To talk about how we talked about Almost Adults and we didn't talk about the gayest thing from the movie, which is the bed made from wood pallets.
We have done a disservice to all of our listeners. You're so right, Megan. We're so sorry.
We are so sorry. Thank you for sticking with us in this difficult time. But thank you for reaching out. I do love it when people reach out like to actually talk about the episodes, because I'm like, you're listening and we can talk about it. So,
and listening carefully enough to tell us all the things
to tell us the things we fucked up.
What more could we ask for, really?
I love it. And speaking of Patreon, we would like to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Desette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much for supporting us. We could not continue to make this show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
Or you can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also are posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by myself. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison and Twitter shenanigans by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support our little independent team, the first way you can do that is free and easy. You can leave us a rating and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. It helps new people find the show.
If you have the means to support us financially, joining our Patreon is the best way to help support us. It's monthly revenue that we can count on to pay all of the people on our independent team. And you can join that at bit.ly/lespatreon. We do our best to give back to our patrons as much as possible with our Patreon-only Discord chat, our monthly bonus episodes you can only find on Patreon, and all kinds of other perks for our patrons.
If you need to rock some Les Hangout merch, you can find all of our designs at our TeePublic store. You can get them on all sorts of things, from t-shirts to sweatshirts to tank tops to totes and more. You can find that at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. You can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
You can also check out our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, like our upcoming show, Journey to the Heart, we are deep in recording sessions already. You can help us by joining our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.